Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. It's a Memorial Day weekend, and of course, I want to take a little time to talk about Memorial Day, what it means, what it should mean, because a lot of us, I think, just, hey, it's the three-day weekend. Well, it's not just a three-day weekend. This is a very important weekend and something we should remember. And my guest in the studio today, Vance Riley, an old friend of mine and Gulf War vet. Vance, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And you brought in your son, Reagan.
Reagan.
Good to see you, Reagan.
Named after, of course, President Reagan.
No one doubts your patriotism, my man. Nobody doubts it. So both of you, welcome to the show. And we're going to talk a little bit about vets, and we'll talk a little bit about politics later on in the show. But let's take care of a little business, as what we do every week is talk current events. And thedailydrift.com, I peruse the internet, give you the stories you don't find on the mainstream media, and post them at www.thedailydrift.com. And you can go every day and get your headline news that you should be seeing. It's the news you need to know. So if you want to advertise on this show or at the Daily Drift website, give me a call, 734-629-6010. Or you can Facebook me. And if you're not on my Facebook page, you're missing stuff like from Vance. it's a lot of good stuff, so join Facebook. Be happy to friend me, and I'll accept you. So I like spreading the information around as best we can. So if you want to advertise or just be involved with me, you can also email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. So, Vance, you were, you know, we lost touch for a few years after high school, and when we did finally meet, you told me your experiences that you were in the first Gulf War, right?
Yes, first Gulf War, 90 to 91.
Yeah, takes you back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you were?
First Cavalry or?
Tanks?
Yeah, armor crewman, gunner on a tank.
Yeah, okay, so going across out of Kuwait and into Iraq?
Actually, we were on the what's considered the old neutral zone, the Wadi al-Bateen.
Okay.
It's called, and it was between the border of, or on the border of Saudi, Kuwait, and Iraq. So
okay.
The only time I went into Iraq is when I left. Or I'm sorry, into Kuwait is when I left.
Okay.
So
okay.
We flew out of the airport there.
Now, how long were you guys actually there in theater?
We were there just a little over 6 months. We were probably one of the first full divisions there. The 24th Infantry Division, heavy armor, was there prior to us. And of course, our quick reactionary forces, the 82nd and the 101st, were there.
Right. And so most of that time, though, you were just waiting, right? Because the war didn't last very long.
No. It was a lot of training, a lot of, getting used to the weather, climatizing. We switched from regular M1 tanks to M1A1s when we were there. So we had to go through that conversion. And then we were up on the border. We were probably 7 miles off the Iraqi border when they started the air show.
So did you see a lot of action after the initial airstrikes?
Yeah, I mean, as far as that, you know, we probably started when we went in, it's about 3 days, or, you know, I'm trying to think at what point. I'm trying to remember the dates, and it's hard sometimes. But, yeah, I mean, we did our part, and there was a lot of different things going. So
But let me ask you, and this is kind of personal, have you had any post-traumatic stress or anything from your days in the Gulf War?
Well, you know, like a lot of guys did, you know, we saw a lot, and sometimes the things you see, you can't get out of your head, no matter what you try, and they're with you.
Right.
So, you know, I think that there's some probably more physical issues from some of the things we were exposed to.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, more so
had,
that.
Okay. So you've had some exposure maybe to the toxins.
Yeah.
The oil fires, that
yeah.
sort of thing.
I think there were 24 exposures, and I was exposed to, like, that's what the Department of Veterans Affairs named, And I was exposed to, I think, probably about 17 of them.
Okay. And then when you say exposures, are you talking chemical
weapons? Yeah. Well, I was in the downwind area of a nerve gas dump that was blew up. So, and again, it's, you know, it's been a lot of denial. And then they're just pacifying us with, you know, well, they're giving us benefits. So.
Right, right.
But.
Okay. So, you know, when people say the weapons of mass destruction weren't really there, your take on that?
Well, they absolutely were there. Okay. Now, whether they stayed there, I don't know. But when I was there, there's absolutely no doubt, 100%, there was nerve, sarin, and blister agents that other units in our scouting units had found. So,
okay. So for me, that's weapons of mass destruction.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be nuclear material or anything.
No.
So, you know, for all you progressive liberals who want to cry that Bush lied, that's nonsense. I mean, there was chemicals there in Iraq, right?
So, absolutely. Okay. And then, you know, they'll come up someplace else.
Okay. Well, and that affects me because there was a story today, and a report came out from the Department of Veteran Affairs, and the new report says that roughly 22 of our U.S. veterans commit suicide every day. And it almost chokes me up a little bit. There's nothing more tragic to me than to know that the guys who put themselves on the line for this country are not getting the help that they need to get better. You know, what is it about the VA or the Fed or us as civilians? What are we not doing right that would allow our soldiers to come home and feel so isolated and helpless that they would do that? I mean,
I think you got to probably look at the root cause. And we're sending these kids in to combat 3-4 times. That one combat tour is traumatic enough. I don't care who you are. The way they're fighting in an urban area a lot of times and not knowing your enemy, you are always wired tight every second of the day. So when you get home, it's very hard to adjust. First off, for me, you don't have, you know, when I came home, knowing someone's going to always be there for you, like the guys in your platoon, you don't have that. You know, even right. though people say, yeah, you know, I'm here for you. Well, your guy, your battle buddy, your other friends in your platoon, they were always there for you. You knew actually they would die for you. You knew that. So that's one problem the guys have. When they come over, they can't find that feeling of camaraderie. And then just being exposed to that type of warfare, you know, it's got to drive you nuts. It's,
right.
you know, it's just to have to always be wired tight and have eyes in the back of your head every second of the day. Think about it. I mean, there's no rest for any of them guys ever.
Right. Yeah, to put that in perspective, 22 a day, you know, every 3 hours, a child or teen is killed by a gun. Every 2 hours and 15 minutes, a woman dies from cervical cancer. Every hour and 45 minutes, a person dies from a cocaine overdose. But every hour and 5 minutes, a veteran, U.S. veteran, commits suicide. That's totally unacceptable.
It absolutely
you know?
Is.
And I think, you know, for me, I can only expect the government to do so much. I would hope the VA would be better prepared to help our guys and the military itself would be taking a look at what they can do. But, you know, I think on Memorial Day should be every day for us in the civilian life because, you know what, we didn't put our butts on the line to save our freedoms in this country. It was you guys. And I think a lot of us, you know, Memorial Weekend isn't a 3-day weekend. It's a weekend to remember those who have served and who have given. You know, the guys that died, the guys who maybe just died a little bit on the inside
sure.
because they're still dealing with post-traumatic
sure.
stress or whatever, you know, you want to call it. So that just, I hope people, and I encourage, if you're a veteran, love to have you call in today. Tell me who you are, what unit you're with, so I can thank you personally. And feel free to do that today, 734-822-1600.
Well, the one thing, Gary, too, is if you know a veteran who's come home recently, you know, I'm going to use the L word. You got to love them, folks. You got to put your arms around them. This is an absolute epidemic, actually. I mean, for that many folks that come from the same theater of operations to be killing themselves, you know, something's got to be done. It starts sometimes at home.
Right.
It starts sometimes with the good friends. And if you see one of your friends who is affected by this, point them in the right direction. Get your arms around them.
Okay. Yeah, and you know what? We can talk about the government not giving help. And here's, you know, we're going to talk scandals today, obviously. I'm a political guy. I know you are as well. So we're going to certainly talk scandals today a little bit. But, you know, one of the biggest scandals, I think, of the Obama administration happened a couple years ago now, Fort Hood shooting. And I want to get your take on this because, you know, you were a military guy, still are a military guy.
I was at Fort Hood.
Yeah. So, you know, a U.S. soldier, officer, Nidal Hassan, a Muslim by religion, never went overseas, I don't think. Maybe he did, but he certainly didn't see combat. He was a psychologist, obviously. And kills 13 people, injures 32 at Fort Hood in the Fort Hood shooting. Was screaming Allahu Akbar as he was shooting them. And the military and the federal government is still not calling this a terrorist attack. They're calling it a workplace violence. How do you feel about that?
Well, the key is, you know, this government is. I think it was a terrorist attack. I think that him being there and his whole purpose was probably to gain intelligence. And that was his final act. And it's absolutely an act of terrorism. There's no doubt in my mind. And I want to ask now, if are we being monitored? Am I going to get thrown in the gulag now for bad-mouthing this administration? So.
Well, if that were true, I think I would have been in a long time ago.
Yeah, are we going to have the stormtroopers come in here and take us away? So.
No, I don't think that's going to happen yet.
Yeah, it could, though.
We've got David Gillis calling in on line one. David's going to talk to us about... I'm trying to remember if I do the top or the bottom here, Derek. The top? Yeah. David Gillis is going to talk to us about a Memorial Day event. Welcome, David. How are you?
Hello.
Go ahead, David. What do you got going on?
Just a quick announcement. Vance asked me to call in. Hello, Vance.
And hey, David. That's Dave Gillis. He's the vice commander at Post 389 in Riverview on Quarry Road in Pennsylvania in beautiful downtown Riverview, if it is a downtown.
Okay, go ahead, David.
David's also, he's a veteran of the first Gulf War, but he was a Marine.
but I was. Someone might throw you in the gulag for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, David. Tell us Monday, about the event.
Monday at 11 o'clock around the Reflection Pond at Young Patriots Park in Riverview, there's going to be a ceremony. This year it's themed, so this year we're honoring and trying to round up, what we rounded up as many we could Riverview residents of World War II veterans.
Nice.
So we are going to, we have a bunch of folks. I think we got about 29 folks, I believe. So
wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a lot still. You know, we're running out of time, aren't we, David, to honor our World War II vets because,
absolutely.
You know what, they are reaching that age.
It was quite an undertaking to find them. And we went to some of the senior homes and found a few residents still hanging around and willing to participate, so it was kind of nice to find them.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So, now, I haven't been back to Riverview in a while, and Patriots Park used to be really cool. They dug out that giant pond there, the Reflection Pond. Do we still have the Nike missile?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay, so that's there, because a lot of people probably, if you're new to Riverview, probably didn't realize we had a Nike site between Downing Elementary and that Reflection Pond at one time. I think it's buried now. They just buried it
over
with dirt.
Something's going on there.
Yeah, I always wanted to go in there as a kid, but it was verboten.
There was actually, I think, a death back there. I remember one year of a kid getting electrocuted.
Yes, yeah.
Jamie may remember it. If he's in call-in, Jamie, let us know.
Right. So, David, anything else about this you want to tell us?
Oh, that's about it. We're going to honor everybody. The whole it's a sight to see. We've put over 200 flags around the pond. It's memorable, I guess I would say. It's really cool.
It's right. Quite a sight. I wrote
the public, anybody from any city, anybody listening, and we're the residents of Riverview and the Post 389 of American Legion in Riverview is putting this on, and we'll have some water and stuff just in case anybody, you know, needs some refreshments or whatever, and there's plenty of seats and parking.
Okay, great. Well, get some video, David, of the event afterward, and if you can get it uploaded to YouTube, I'll link it up at thedailydrift.com so that people can see what you guys did.
Absolutely. That'd be fantastic.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, David. Appreciate the call.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Dave.
So, Well, there you go, another good event, and there's a ton of them going on. So, folks, take a few minutes out of your weekend and go and honor the vet somewhere. And as you said, just, you know, when I go through the airport, if I see a vet, I always nod and say thank you. And my wife and I were driving to Florida one time and saw some vets, and I actually bought this vet and his dad lunch. You know, I just told the waitress, hey, you know, lunch on them, that's for me, you know. And he was very appreciative of it. So, you know, you can do something small every day. If you see a vet like that, just say thanks, man, because it means a lot. I mean, for those of us who haven't served, I think it's the least we should be able to do, you know. So take some time out for that. But let's get back to this Fort Hood shooter. So
yes.
while the government is not doing this, they're preventing these guys that were injured from collecting benefits for them and their families. They're not getting Purple Hearts. They're not getting combat-related benefits because they're not calling it combat. You know, do we even have, you know what, we've got a track, Derek. Let's play track one. I want you to listen to this, fans, because this is pretty important, and people should be outraged at the way the government is treating our victims, our soldiers from Fort Hood incident. Okay, no, we missed it. All right, so we'll try and get that one up. But in the meantime, the shooter himself, psychologist and officer Nidal Hassan, is still getting paid. Can you imagine that? So we're not taking benefits money to pay the benefits of the guys who are working, but this guy has been paid thus far while awaiting trial $278,000, playing a prisoner. You know, this guy should be in Leavenworth and shot or hung by now, frankly, if you ask me. All right, Derek, go ahead and run that track.
Tonight, the attack on Fort Hood. More than 3 years later, the victims are still fighting to get the same pay and benefits as other wounded soldiers.
Now, an NBC5 investigation has uncovered new information that's left some victims stunned and angry. Investigative reporter Scott Friedman has the exclusive. Scott?
Brian and Meredith, the soldiers shot in the Fort Hood attack have not received the same pay or benefits as soldiers attacked at bases overseas. Meanwhile, new documents we've obtained show the accused gunman is getting hundreds of thousands of dollars of your tax money.
I honestly thought that I was going to die in that building.
November 5th, 2009. Major Nidal Hassan opens fire inside the Army Deployment Center at Fort Hood.
Seek shelter immediately.
13 dead, 32 wounded.
You know, when I first got shot,
three of the bullets hit Army Specialist Logan Burnett, a reservist on active duty headed to Iraq.
Blood everywhere, and then the thought of, that's my blood everywhere.
Burnett nearly died. He's had more than a dozen surgeries to remove shrapnel and says post-traumatic stress still keeps him up at night. Now he's fighting a new battle against the Army. And he's stunned by something NBC5 investigates uncovered in this letter from the Department of Defense.
This is ridiculous.
Burnett says the shooting was like combat.
You take three rounds and you lose five good friends and you watch, you know, seven other people get killed in front of you. Do you have another term that we can classify that as?
But the Army has not classified Burnett's wounds as combat-related, and the Army has declined to label the incident a terrorist attack, even though FBI reports show Hassan was communicating with a member of Al-Qaeda, and the government's National Counterterrorism Center lists the incident as a high-fatality terrorist attack. The Army calls it a case of workplace violence.
Sickens me. Absolutely sickens me. Workplace violence? I don't even know if I have the words to say.
Because of that characterization, Burnett and the other victims have not been given combat-related pay, and they're not eligible for Purple Heart retirement and medical benefits given to other soldiers wounded overseas and in the 9/11 attack on the Pentagon. Burnett, his wife Tori, and the families of the other Fort Hood victims miss out on thousands of dollars of additional assistance every year.
Okay, so, you know what? Let me make a plea on the air. I know, Mr. Obama, these guys were in combat. That was a terrorist attack. Your own FBI says so. And yet you won't instruct the military. You're the commander in chief. If you say it was, it'll happen. And so, Mr. Obama, on Memorial Day, you should reverse your policy. You should give those gentlemen combat pay, recognize that as a terrorist attack, and stop the fiddling around. You know, who are you scared of that you won't call a terrorist attack a terrorist attack?
His own people on the left, I think. I think we know their opinion of the military.
Okay. You're a military guy. You tell me. Was it a terrorist attack?
Well, absolutely. And you said he was collaborating with Al-Qaeda members. There's probably more to that than we've been told. His whole intent was to scout out, learn the routine. And then, you know, in his final act, I'm sure he wanted to kill himself, but it didn't work out that way. So,
okay. So you trained at Fort Hood, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you tell me, are you okay being a military guy offering those guys combat pay? Because do you consider that a combat situation?
Well, absolutely. In the text of how that went off, absolutely. Yeah. It's in, you know, what's the difference between Fort Hood or Bagram?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people get inside the post there and go on a shooting spree. You know, it's combat, but here it's not. I mean, and it was under the guise of terrorism, and we know that for a fact.
Yeah, it's a disgrace. And Mr. Obama, I would ask you, if this is Memorial Day means anything to you and the military means anything to you as Commander-in-Chief, give them their Purple Hearts, give them their benefits, give them their combat pay, because that is the right thing to do. So, all right, this has irked me since day one that he has not taken care of these guys like he's supposed to. You know what I mean? The buck stops with him. He can change it if he wants to. So, I don't know. If you got a call or an opinion on that, 734-822-1600, I'll be happy to take your call on that. Well, you know, maybe this is just maybe the way Obama feels about the military. I mean, you tell me, you're a soldier. There was another article today, and this is kind of nitpicking. Obama got on Marine One chopper this week and failed to salute the Marine who was saluting him, and they're always supposed to return that salute. Now, maybe he was busy, you know, maybe he was in a rush, maybe his mind was somewhere else, I understand. And he did come back and shake the Marine's hand. But do you think that's indicative at all of the way Obama feels about the military?
Yeah, absolutely, and that element of the left. Again, I think that the military to them is a colossal waste of money. They'd rather have those funds for social programs or their agenda. And I think that that's just an underlying element in the way they think about the military. So, you know, was it intentional? I doubt it, but still, it's not surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt as well on that one because I don't want to be a nitpicker. There's enough major stuff that we can go after on that. Another thing that happened this week, which was atrocious. Now, this isn't America by any stretch of the imagination. In London this week, two Muslim extremists, brutally murdered a British soldier who was off duty, coming out of his barracks or going in, I'm not sure which. I think they hit him with a car, got out of the car, and literally hacked the man to death with knives and butcher knives. And actually stood around waiting for the cops to show up. And do we have time to run that track, Derek? Let's run that track. This is on the London murder.
In a South London street, a man with bloodied hands, carrying a knife and machete, approaches a camera and tries to justify what has just happened.
I apologize that women had to witness this today, but in our lands, our women have to see the same. You people will never be safe. Remove your government. They don't care about you.
He then walks back up the road, back towards the victim of this attack who lies prone in the street, a young man believed to be a soldier. The man with blood on his hands then talks to a second man. There are also heated conversations with passers-by, people who have witnessed appalling violence, some of whom tried to stop it.
Okay, and I think the identity was end up released today was Lee Rigby, a British soldier. And so he was, you know, an off-duty soldier, killed brutally by this piece of subhuman filth, frankly. And we'll get into this a little bit when we come back. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Don Matheson. A betrayal of a sacred trust. That's what Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel calls drug and alcohol abuse and sexual harassment in the military, telling West Point graduates,
"You'll need to not just deal with these debilitating, insidious, and destructive forces, but rather you must be the generation of leaders that stop it."
Many consumers red hot over the cost of their holiday weekend barbecues this year.
Wholesale meat prices hit a record high this week. Analysts blame the drought, and they warn that as expensive as those burgers are for this weekend, they'll be even pricier by the 4th of July.
Fox News Radio's Steve Knight. The wholesale price of choice grade beef up to $2.11 a pound. Protests against Monsanto and genetically modified food getting underway in many cities in the U.S. and elsewhere. They're concerned about the dangers. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Don't miss Theron's Saturday Night Rockin' Rhythm Review. Your fingers will be popping. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with a special Saturday night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show.
I came to rock, baby. I don't know about you.
Then, from 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie.
Sharing with you music I love.
At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots with Radio John D's Greasy Skillet.
Sit back and relax while we hit those wagon ruts.
Then, Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the best oldies from 10 to midnight.
We've got the mix going tonight on the Cruising Show.
Dan Martin takes you across the pond for the best of the UK on London Calling at midnight.
The Stones and their 1963 rendition of the Lennon-McCartney track, I Wanna Be Your Man.
Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go, from 2 to 4.
Your friend of mine, Mr. Rockin' Lloyd Tripp and his band, the Zip Guns. I am DJ Del Villarreal.
It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4 on the musical side of Wham. Does your business's website stand out? Does it catch an eye or two? At Waypoint Arts, we design and develop each project from scratch with an original and unique flair. If you're looking for a web design service that specializes in delivering the wow effect to your guests, then let us get started on your project today. Need a design for a poster or flyer? We can help. Visit us online at waypointarts.com or drop us a line at 855-WAY-ARTS. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Saturday afternoon. I still think sometimes, Derek, it's Sunday morning, but it's not. So, our sponsor this half hour is The Current, Current Newspaper, currentonline.com. That's C-O-U. RANTonline.com. The June edition will be out this upcoming week here. And if you want to get your print media budget used up in an effective and efficient manner, call Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777, or me, 734-629-6010.
I love that paper.
That's a good conservative paper, dude. I mean, how many newspapers can say they've grown seven times their size in 7 years? Not very many in this economy.
It's a great community newspaper. Really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Hats off to you.
And of course, you'll get some common sense and definitely conservative opinion. But if you're a liberal and you want to get your side of the story out, I print that. You know, people think I'm some right-wing nut. I'm not. I will, even if I think you're a complete imbecile with your liberal left views, I will fight to the death to give you your opportunity to print your views. You know, I'm a big believer in the Constitution. So, but we were talking before this break that one of the guys that killed the British soldier in London. And if you listen to that video, and it's on YouTube, you can go to the Daily Drift and get it again too. You know, he says, my land, this is just a payback for what you people have done in my land. Well, Michael Adebolaho, I think is his name, he was born in London. I don't see any British soldiers or NATO force soldiers killing anybody in London, hacking them to death. I mean, this piece of trash is trying to justify his hatred for society by saying his people, his women, his land have been degraded by American Western forces, yeah, or British forces. That's nonsense. This scumbag was a British schoolboy born in Lambeth, England. You know, so it bothers me to the core that this piece of subhuman filth, and I can't say it any more than that, this guy should be locked up and fed bacon, frankly, for the rest of his life if they're not going to kill him. You know what I mean? And if you're going to kill him, I'd bury him in a pig farm.
It's doubtful that he'll get the death penalty in England.
Yeah.
But I think my own opinion on that is Londoners have a way of policing their own. And these guys are probably inadvertently going to cause more deaths. And I don't want to say it, but, you know, they're going to only take so much.
Right.
And, you know, and there's already been a movement on the streets of London by some Muslims to enforce Sharia law, where they're confronting people that have been drinking and taking their stuff away. And actually, summarily beating people who had the liquor in the booth. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah, Sharia law. You know what?
Yeah.
Keep that in the Middle East where you guys live and belong. You know, if you want to come to America, you want to come to the Western countries, you learn to assimilate. You know, you're welcome to have your take on your religion. I don't force anybody to worship any particular way. But you know what? Your views should not be enforced on me. If you want that, stay in your own country. Because in the West here, we are open, we are tolerant. If you want to be an intolerant person, stay in the Middle East. Don't come here. Now, in Stockholm, Sweden, for the last 5 nights, we've had rioting by Muslims. And it all started with police shooting and killing an older gentleman who happened to be Muslim, who was bearing a knife at them. They shot him and killed him. Well, you know what? If you go after cops with a knife, chances of getting shot and killed are pretty darn good no matter what country you're in. I mean, if you're an American wielding a knife in Saudi Arabia, I'm betting you're going to get shot to death.
It's the old rule, never bring a knife to a gunfight, right?
Exactly. So let's listen to track three here real quick, Derek.
City on fire. That's become the common scene in Stockholm, where riots have raged for a fifth night in a row. Young people in immigrant suburbs of the city have torched cars, smashed windows, set buildings ablaze. And the violence has sparked a debate on Sweden's open immigration policy, which has resulted in a massive influx of asylum seekers who many say, simply put, refuse to integrate. Our correspondent Peter Oliver filed this report.
Nice, neat and normal. Not the type of place you would expect to see this. Welcome to Husby, on the outskirts of Stockholm, and the epicenter of Sweden's issue with race, and it's bubbling over.
In Sweden, you get welfare, you get access to the education system up to university level, you get access to public transport, to libraries, to healthcare, to everything. And still, they feel that they need to riot, throw stones and Molotov cocktails. It's ridiculous. It's a bad excuse.
Yeah, so does that sound familiar? You get free healthcare, you get free education, you get a whole bunch of stuff, and you can claim asylum and come here just like you do in Sweden. Is that what we're looking at 10 years down the road?
Absolutely.
I mean, if these people are leaving the Middle East to go to Sweden to get their free healthcare, they should be thankful. You know, they should be learning their best to learn, in this case, Swedish, and assimilating. And I'm not saying they can't worship the way they want to, but they can certainly do the things they need to get by and get along. You know what I mean? If you want to start throwing rocks and setting cars on fire, stay back in the Middle East, man. They're welcome to do that there. I mean, that happens all the time. It's just unbelievable. Now, this kind of footage or this audio came from RT Network, RT.com, which is Russia Today. Right. Now, you don't see a whole lot of this on the news. I've been watching the news, and I'm not seeing a whole lot about Muslims rioting for five nights in a row, burning cars and sacking Stockholm. You know what I mean? It's like the Crusades in reverse, you know? Is this the price we pay from 2,000 years ago?
Yeah, it could be. No, and again, you know, Swedish folks are resilient too, you know. Remember the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, it's this open attitude about multiculturalism and being tolerant, but you can't be super tolerant with people who are intolerant. It doesn't work. So let's go with track four. This is Lars Hedegaard, who is a reporter in Sweden, and he's talking about how multiculturalism in Sweden is a failure. Let's go with track four, Derek.
Much of this, these are immigrants. And of course, Sweden's got a reputation for opening its doors to immigrants. Surely that multiculturalism is something that Sweden has been successful at over the past. So why should that be going wrong?
Well, it has not been successful. I mean, you can see that right now. There's been it's been an ideology that's been disseminated by the ruling elites of Sweden that this was a great success and a great experiment, a model for the rest of the world. The fact is that these riots that are now spreading in the country, I don't know if they'll continue for a long time, but they certainly demonstrate that this success was a fiction. It never succeeded.
Okay, so multiculturalism doesn't really work. It doesn't. I mean, you have to have some sort of melting pot. And it doesn't mean, you know what happens to the grease on the surface of a boiling pot of meat or anything else, right? Eventually, you get it off, right? Yeah. You get rid of it. I mean, you can't be, you got to blend in. That's part of it. I'm not asking people to give up, but you should at least learn English or whatever language of the country that you're living in and be thankful, for crying out loud. So once again, it shows that, you know, not everyone, but quite a few, large number anyways, of Muslims are not tolerant. They're intolerant, they're angry, and they don't want to fit in. They want to force themselves on the rest of us. And it's just not right, you know, in whatever country.
Right, and it's not certainly indicative of some of the good folks we have here that have come over, you know, years and years ago, established great little enclaves within the city, and are part of the community. That's not the case in Sweden.
Right.
They're trying to carve their own little niche out and say, that's ours.
Yeah.
TS.
Yeah. And you know what? That's no way to be grateful to your host, is what it comes down to. So we're going to go into a break, Derek. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Scandal City in the Obama administration. We'll see you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Lakes Area Tea Party invites Tea Party members and other patriots to march in the Walled Lake Memorial Day Parade. Line up at the area of Pontiac Trail and East Lake Drive, Space 32, on Monday, May 27th between 9 and 10 a.m. The parade starts at 11 and should be done by 1 p.m. Come show that the Tea Party is still alive and well. The Plymouth Elks Lodge number 1780 welcomes you back to another fine series of Jazz at the Elks in a beautiful club setting on the last Tuesday of every month from 7 to 10 p.m. On May 28th, the wonderful Terry Lower Trio will perform. There's a $10 donation at the door, which includes hors d'oeuvres. For more information, call 734-453-1780 or email plymouthelks1780@yahoo.com. The lodge is located at 41700 Ann Arbor Road in Plymouth. There's going to be a church rummage sale June 1st from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
p.m. at Bethlehem United Church of Christ, 423 South 4th Avenue in Ann Arbor. It'll be a huge sale ranging from books to home decor to kitchen utensils, tools, and more. It's a fundraiser for Sunday Church School Mission Outreach. For more information, visit bethlehem-ucc.org or call 734-665-6149. The City of Farmington Hills presents Art on the Grand, Fine Arts Fair for the whole family. It'll be Saturday, June 1st from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday, June 2nd from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. in beautiful downtown Farmington on Grand River Avenue at Farmington Road. Admission is free. For more information, call 248-473-1848 or visit fhgov.com.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108.
I'm Gary Wellings, Chief Editor of The Current. To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current newspaper is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown to six times its size since 2007 because we have a unique venue for local content, common sense opinion, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that, and your ad is also seen online for free. Call Sam Iaquinto at 734-323-0777. That's 734-323-0777. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift this Saturday afternoon. In the studio with me, Vance Riley, old friend of mine and veteran on this Memorial Day from the Gulf War, first Gulf War. Vance, again, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to do as quickly as possible. We're going to hit the scandals that have been just getting worse by the day, it seems. Let's start out with the Department of Justice scandal, which is this last week it was discovered that the Department of Justice was checking out on the AP reporters' phones, messages, and checking their phone records and that sort of thing. And that was the only reason I think we even heard about this is because the AP reporters, some of the mainstream media, got ticked off about it because, you know, they've been hiding things for the Obama administration now for 5-6 years. And here they find themselves on the wrong end of the stick. Well, it turns out it's getting deeper and deeper. Now, Fox News, lo and behold, James Rosen, who's one of their big reporters, had his email records checked, and his email for his parents' account as well got checked. And what's odd is, again, he's in defense mode. He said he had nothing to do, recused himself from the AP records. He had nothing to do with that. And then he goes on to say this week in front of Congressman Hank Johnson, let's go with track five, Derek. This is Holder saying, I had nothing to do with any of this.
Well, I would say this. With regard to the potential prosecution of the press for the disclosure of material, that is not something that I've ever been involved and heard of or would think would be a wise policy. In fact, my view is quite the opposite, that what I proposed during my confirmation, what the Obama administration supported during 2009, and I understand, I think Senator Schumer is now introducing a bill that we are going to support as well, that the press should be a shield law with regard to the press's ability to gather information and to disseminate it. The focus should be on those people who break their oaths. And
okay, so here he is saying, I've never had anything to do with that, right? Oh, and there should be a shield law. The Obama administration believes in protecting that right. Really? Well, it turns out, according to law enforcement officials, that Eric Holder, Attorney General Eric Holder, personally signed off on the search warrant that named Fox News reporter James Rosen as a potential criminal co-conspirator in leaking government secrets. How do you feel about that?
It reminds me of
Listen, I want to tell you something. I had nothing to do with that. As a matter of fact, it was quite the opposite. You know, when he put the opposite, it reminded me of Clinton.
Yeah.
When he's in hot water, you know, just
you do
turn
Clinton,
it.
By the way.
Thanks. Do it, twist it, turn it. And it's just incredible, again, that they get away with what they get away. Because, right. You know, frankly, Gary, everyone's so worried about what the hell's going on in Duck Dynasty and Dancing with the Stars and American Idol. They are not taking time to look at these things. And our liberties and our foundation of America is being eroded away little by little when stuff
that's
like this
exactly
happens.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's amazing when you see videos. Now, some of these shows, Jimmy Kimmel and whatnot, people have no idea what's going on. They really don't. When you interview the average Joe, they don't know where Benghazi is. They don't know who the AP is. They don't know who James Rosen is. They're not paying any attention. And yet here's the Attorney General for the United States government, the top law enforcement official in the country, caught red-handed in a lie. It's an outrage, and yet nobody seems to care, except people like you and I.
Right.
You know, I can say it on the radio all I want, but if people aren't listening, they don't know about it. And they're going to go ahead. They'd probably vote for Obama a third term if they had a chance.
Sure. I think what happens is they've whipped people, a lot of people, into apathy. It's just they don't care anymore. And you've got to, because if you think this is the tip of the iceberg, I think.
Right. Oh, yeah, without a doubt, you know. And because he said that under oath while in Congress, now they're talking about, well, did he lie under oath, and is he responsible for that? Well, the Obama administration's solution to that is, well, we're going to have Eric Holder investigate himself. Seriously?
Yeah.
How about a special prosecutor to go after Eric Holder? For at least for lying. If for nothing else, he's lying.
Well, we know how the special prosecutor will work out. They'll go after that person. Go after the accusers. I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet, because that's usually they got that waiting. They got that card waiting.
Yeah. What really irks me the most, I guess, is they're worried. Their excuse is, well, we've got to stop these leaks, and this is how we're going to stop these leaks. No, the leaks are coming from the Obama administration. The leaks are coming from Obama appointees. Why wouldn't you tap the phones and emails of people in the administration? How about people that he appointed? If the leaks are coming from the Department of Defense, how about you tap the Department of Defense phones, not the reporters who are just reporting? Their job is to take that information, wherever it comes from, and report. That's a reporter's job. That's
journalism 101.
So, again, they're instead of doing their job and doing it right, they're going after the media. It just makes absolutely no sense.
And in some cases, the media that is most critical of this administration. So that, again, is the whole...
Again, discrimination, not treating people equally, going after it. So the White House on Friday didn't even respond to a report that Attorney General Eric Holder authorized the seizure of James Rosen's phone and email records. And they had no daily press briefing because that's Memorial Day weekend. So they're hoping it just kind of goes through the weekend and people forget about it. You know, that's total nonsense. Well, let's move on, because I know you want to talk about the yet another scandal, the IRS scandal, right? Go ahead.
I mean, this denial by this administration, and I'll quote one of our old coaches, Dr. Don Lesner. Hey, if you think that Obama didn't know anything about this and isn't responsible for it, you're sadly mistaken. I think that he absolutely knows. I think this was the attitude of this administration towards people from the Tea Party or the right. You know, I don't know. I don't consider them far right, but I consider them a necessary party in this country, a necessary voice.
Right.
Because everything's, getting stuck together. So to go after them, come on. They know what they're doing. And they can sit there and say they don't all day. But, I know.
Well, the lawmakers, the Oversight Committee, is narrowing it down now. They're saying, wait a minute. In the last 24 months or so, the IRS, top-level IRS people, have had 118 meetings at the White House. Now, what are you sitting there talking about, your kids or your latest golf game? I don't think so. My guess is you're talking about IRS business and the way you're doing things at the IRS. 118 meetings in less than 24 months.
Yeah.
Hello, that's more than a meeting a week. Don't tell me you weren't talking about the investigation, because the investigation has been ongoing. You think at least one of those meetings, Obama would have said, hey, what's going on with that targeting that you guys have kind of been accused of? Anything going on there? I mean, Glenn Beck broached it well over a year ago. You know, this was out before the election, and yet it got said to the, pushed off to the side. You know, we're not going to cover it. It's election year. And blame the media can blame themselves. You know, you're going to get hurt by this kind of thing. It's because you didn't do your job to begin with.
Right.
I mean, it's a total outrage. Emails now show that the Treasury Department delayed alerting Congress to the Tea Party targeting. Now, once again, and people want to look at Daryl Issa. Well, you know what? He's doing his job. He's probably one of the few congressional members in Congress doing his job, pointing these things out. And why shouldn't he? I mean, people should be outraged. They're not. Why? What do I have to do?
He just made the list. He's on the list now.
He's going to the gulag along with you and I. Well, we'll be in good company, I guess, is the way we'll look at it. And despite these two scandals, I still think the biggest scandal, and I almost want to, you know, the conspiracy guy in me says these were leaked to be smoke and mirrors for something that may be truly the worst of all, and that's the Benghazi scandal. Right, Benghazi, you know, the administration was told a year in advance, we have security problems. They asked for help. They didn't get it. They went right to Hillary Clinton, said, we need more help. We didn't get it. And then they get attacked. And instead of sending in special forces who are on the ground ready to go, they couldn't have saved the ambassador. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Chris Stevens died. It was way too quick. But there was enough help on the ground in Tripoli to get guys there. They were told to stand down. How does that make you feel as a military
guy? Yeah, it's ridiculous. Again, you know, we have more people that go on these trips, their entourage and security and Secret Service for Hillary Clinton, than we had at our embassy in Benghazi, which, again, was right in the city. They were told to put it out. You know, they should have had it out in the outskirts, and it should have been better guarded. And the stand down is ridiculous.
Well, I think the tip of the iceberg here, they can try and shove it off to the side as much as they want, but I think more whistleblowers are coming. I mean, what you saw in this last week before the IRS and the AP scandal broke is the fact that the whistleblowers came out and felt comfortable. And I think you're going to see more. I mean, at what other point in U.S. history have survivors from this kind of an attack not been allowed to talk to Congress, not been allowed to even be interviewed by the media? I mean, what are they threatening these people with to keep them that far away from the media and from Congress?
I mean, again, it's just look back, reminds me of the Soviet Union, you know, that's that kind of tactic. It's almost unbelievable to paint it that way.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Gulag Radio with Vance Riley and myself this afternoon. And until next week, go to thedailydrift.com and get your daily news. Get informed, because you know what? Things won't get better if you keep your head in the sand. So don't be an ostrich. Until next week, we'll see you again. Vance, happy Memorial Day. And thank you.
Happy Memorial Day to all the vets out there.
Yeah. Thank you all. All right. See ya.